Will you pray with me? Well, Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, stir up your Holy Spirit in us, that we may turn to you, Jesus, to do that hard work of change, of denying ourselves and bearing fruit, fruit that lasts. Enable us, Lord, that through your word, through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may grow as your disciples. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, we're talking about how growing people change. And maybe you like growing, right? That's okay. You like people, but that third word, change. Do you like that? Do you like change? Change is hard sometimes because we like things to stay the same. We like to be comfortable. Or maybe you're like this grumpy cat, all right? This grumpy cat that says there's two things that I don't like, change and the way things are, right? You know, so there's sometimes that we find ourselves in that position that we don't like change, but we don't really like where we're at. And so sometimes it has to really get hot, all right, in the kitchen before we make a change. Whether it's with finances, have you ever gotten to the point where you realize there seems to be more money coming out and then, well, it's okay, I've got some savings, and you keep drawing that down until you've got nothing left, and then it's like, oh, what do we do? And it's hot enough to actually make us change, because sometimes we don't want to change. But change is a part of living. Change is a part of life. Change is the part of this world in which we live in. Have you heard of Gabby Williams? A few years back, there was a TLC show on Gabby and another boy from Australia. You can see a picture of Gabby. Any guesses on how old Gabby is in this picture? She's the one in by the dog. She's the one in her mom's arms right here. She's 6 years old. She's a handful of people around the world have a condition where their body ages every, about for a year of her age, the way she looks, she ages 4 or 5 or 6 years. And can you imagine having a child that doesn't grow, that stays the same, that wears diapers and you know, her family does awesome. I read about that. Gabby's family, they love her. They pour her love into her, and she's an amazing child. But doctors have no idea why she grows age-wise, but her body doesn't develop. There's another man in Australia who's 40 years old, but he looks like he's 10. And the doctors have no idea why this growing doesn't occur. You know, while this is a very rare occurrence, this lack of physical growth, I think spiritually, though, it happens all too often. That maybe we get a little stunted in our spiritual growth. You know, God has designed us not to stay as spiritual infants, but to feed and to grow on God's word so that we may become mature. Paul puts it this way in Hebrews 5. He says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not spiritual food. And so Paul is kind of implying that as we grow in our faith, we can handle that spiritual steak and potatoes, all right? That we want to grow and be able to handle food that is for a mature Christian. And yet I think when we look at our lives and we think about growing, sometimes I'm not sure how we grow in our faith. It's like looking at this tree. Can anybody tell me what kind of tree this is? I heard the right answer. It's a peach tree. How do you know? You can tell by its leaves. What about this picture? What kind of fruit tree is this? All right, that's a little bit easier, right? It's hard sometimes just looking at the leaves to be able to identify what kind of a tree is. But sometimes when you can see the fruit, you know without a shadow of a doubt that that is indeed a peach tree. Jesus says something similar about us as followers of Jesus, that we will be recognized by our fruit, that every good fruit tree produces good fruit, a bad tree produces bad fruit. He talks about, you know, thistles will produce thistles and a good tree will produce good fruit. You can recognize a tree or a person by their fruit. And so as we look at our lives, how are we growing? Now the fruit that we as Christians grow in are the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. You know, as you think about your own life, and maybe in this past year, can you say, yes, I've grown in my ability to be faithful? Or yes, I'm growing in my ability to love. God has put some really people in my life that are hard to love, right? And I'm learning to love them. Okay? Or I'm being good. Can you as a Christian say, this is how I've grown. This is how the fruit of my life has changed me. How God has allowed the Spirit to work faith and these fruit in me. I think that's our challenge as Christians. Sometimes we can say, all right, I look back on my past life and I'm about the same. God wants us to grow. Growing people change. It's not always easy, it's not always comfortable, but I think as followers of Jesus Christ, God has called us to a living relationship with him, that as we live, as we change, we grow in him. But it's a process. It takes time. I don't want to tell you that you're going to leave today and you're going to follow Jesus perfectly, all right, because of that great sermon that Pastor Andy preached, all right? Okay, that's not the way it works. It's, Paul says, you know, Paul, this great early evangelist, the greatest missionary that has ever lived, he wrote in Philippians 3, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. It's like he's not there yet. He's on a journey. He's on a path, but he's not there yet. But he says, I press on. I've not yet achieved it. I press on to achieve the heavenly prize. Paul says it's a process. It's a season that we grow in the Lord. Yesterday, there was something that happened in Akron, something that has to do with a blue line that goes throughout Akron. Have you ever seen that blue line driving around Akron? Do you know what that line is for? It's for the marathon, all right? That's the path through Akron that the people that run the marathon on. How many miles, can anybody tell me how many miles is a marathon? 26 miles. Whew. 0.2, okay. Sounds like somebody who knows. Have you run a marathon, Ellen? Awesome, all right. Whew. Yeah. Did you ever hit that wall?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. You know, often I've heard it. I haven't ever run that far. But, you know, that you get to a certain...
Crawl.
Okay. When you hit the wall, it's just like every step is a labor. And how do you get through that? How do you keep going when you just want to give up?
Well,
yeah. That's right. If you aren't training, it'd be almost foolish. You could really hurt yourself physically to try to push through that. And so when we run it, it's a process. It takes training. But there's going to be a point in that run where it's going to be hard. Sometimes as Christians, we think that life is just easy once we follow Jesus. But there are times where we hit that 12th mile or 18th mile, or that 20th mile, that 23rd mile, and we know that we're not there yet. And so maybe you had that support to run with you, or you think, you visualize, I'm going to cross that line. For Paul, he says, I press on towards what? My heavenly prize. Sometimes for us as Christians, we remember that there's more to living than just what's in this world. We press on to a life with God in heaven. And so as Christians, we know that there are tough times ahead. I think how we deal with the tough times really show about our spirituality. If you're in the midst of a hard time right now, it's a great time to press into Jesus. It's a great time to fix your eyes on Jesus and say, Jesus, I need help. And I think that's what hard times really hit into us. I can't do this on my own. I need someone running alongside of me. I need help. And as much as other things may help, the thing we need most is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and life is good. You aren't having that hard time. And I got to tell, this is also a great time for you to press into Jesus. Because as you press into Jesus now, when those hard times come, I'm not saying if, but when those hard times come, you can be ready. You can have that relationship. You can have that maturity to be able to say, all right, Jesus, we've got this. Or Jesus, you've got this. Help me carry you. We can have this confidence in Jesus because of what Jesus has already accomplished on the cross. Jesus has taken the powers of this world, of the sin that so easily entangles us, and he says, I've paid for them so that they can trip you up no more. I've set you free so that you may be free indeed. Press into me. Or fix your eyes on me, that you might run the race of faith, growing and learning as we follow him. And so today, I want to, as much as you may say, I've hit that wall, or I stumble and I've fallen, Pastor, you don't get it. Today I say, look to Jesus. He gets it, and he is with you. And he invites you to now grow in him. As you trust in him, as you lean in him, as you receive that forgiveness that he has won for you on the cross, press into Jesus. Fix your eyes on him. And so as we seek to grow, I want to share with you six activities that really help us grow. And again, I've got a sermon handout if you want to follow along. But you might say, well, what does it look like? How does a person grow? It's kind of like that marathon training. It takes a work. It takes a plan, an intentional plan to work your growth up that you can run this race with Jesus. The first thing to do is read the Bible daily, all right? As Hannah said earlier, you know, God says that his word is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. It's so important to be in God's word on a daily basis. How many of you are getting the email with the daily scripture passage and the thought that goes with the living the five? All right. Many of you getting, how many of you are reading it? Okay. If you want it, all right, but don't have it, talk to Hannah or myself. We'll try to have a sign-up sheet in the back. And every day during Living the Five, we're sending a scripture passage and a thought on, all right, God, how are you guiding and leading me today? Another great way to be in God's word every day, read your portals of prayer, but if you want something that's on your phone that you always have, YouVersion has a great app at Bible.com, and you can have a scripture passage sent to you every morning. You can have different devotional thoughts sent right to your phone so that you can have that with you. That, again, wherever you go, you also can have God's word with you right on that phone. The Bible.com is a great place to go to have that Bible at your fingertips. Another way to think of this, Jesus, you know, when he was tempted by Satan, says, man does not live on bread alone, but what does man live on? On every word that comes from God. And so if we're just gathering together once a week, if this is your only dose of God's word, your one time of eating for the week, you're going to be spiritually hungry. That's why it's so important to be in God's word every day. That's where growth happens. Another thing is to attend church regularly. Our society today, it's harder and harder to do this because we're so busy and we travel. But I want to encourage you that if you're in town, all right, on Sunday morning, come to church, all right? This is where we get fueled up, where we get to encourage one another, where we can say, all right, I want to run alongside you for a little bit. It's where we get fed with God's word. God says in Hebrews 10, let us not give up meeting together. So be in church. And today I'm preaching to the choir, right? You're here. Woohoo! All right. But you know, make that commitment that if I can, I'm gonna be in worship with those who can walk alongside me and cheer me on. The third thing, and I think this is so important, is to confess genuinely. You know, so often, you know, that whole change is tough. So often I think we say in our hearts that God, I'll give you my life, everything except for this little corner, right? I'm not sure if I feel comfortable giving this to you or letting you be in charge of this. God, I think I'll just manage this part of my life. You know what that's called? It's called idolatry, right? God wants us to give it all to him. And so that when we confess, when we repent, it's a 180. It's turning away from this world and our earthly desires and saying, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to give you my whole heart and my whole life. God, you're in control. Let me follow you. It's amazing that James puts confession and healing together. That sometimes I think our brokenness, our emptiness comes when we don't confess our sins or we hold something back. But James says that if you confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, then you'll be healed. It's important that we confess and receive this forgiveness that God has given us in Jesus Christ. The fourth thing that we want to do is give wholeheartedly, to give freely. Of all that God has given to us. Jesus says that you can't serve two masters. You can't both serve God and money, that they don't belong together, that they should be separated from each other. Love God and hate this world. But that's hard when it comes to God and money. Some things it's a little bit easier.
Oh,
hold on.
This would be one.
Oh, yeah. Me too. What do you do?
I'm a vet.
I love animals.
Really? Where are you from?
Michigan. Born and raised. Go Blue!
Go Buckeyes!
Go Buckeyes!
If we're able to feel that way about sports, all right? Shouldn't we be able to feel that way about God, you know? To have this, they don't go together, all right? And yet so often I think we that's not so bad. And so I just think we should challenge ourselves to really give. And how are we giving? Later this fall, we're going to do a study on the genius of generosity and what real generosity means. And so we want to give wholeheartedly. The fifth thing is we want to tell others faithfully, that we may be active in sharing our faith. You know, whenever we have good news, if you go find a new restaurant and the food and the service is really good, what are you probably going to do? Tell somebody, all right? The same thing, I think one of the best things you can do is, hey, you want to come to church with me, all right? Hopefully, coming to church is a good thing, all right? And you want someone else to hear the good news or say, hey, do you have a church home? I'd love to meet you at church. I'd love for you to be a part of and experience the family of faith that I have at Talmadge Lutheran Church. Tell others, and maybe that's just planting a seed. Maybe God will give you an opportunity to share what God has done for you, what that means, what that looks like. But part of growing is to watch for opportunities to share your faith and to be active in doing that. And the last thing that we can do is we can serve enthusiastically. Paul says to use whatever gift that we have to serve others. this fall, our youth are going to Flint, Michigan to serve. And Diane Levan is putting together a mission team to go to Baton Rouge that has experienced that flooding to try to help those who are doing that. We've done Cool Day, but I think as a church, caring for the community, sharing the love of Jesus Christ is part of who we are. But how can you do that as an individual? How can you share what God has blessed you with others? As we share, we grow in our faith. Finally, Jesus says this, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine." At the heart of growth is remaining in Jesus Christ. That as we remain in him, he actively changes us to become more and more like him. May together we join Jesus in growing. And maybe one of those six things in your heart and your mind, you say, I've got to choose one of those. God is kind of placing on my heart to grow in reading God's word, to grow in sharing my faith, to grow in giving, to grow in serving, to grow in following Jesus. So I want to challenge you this week, take that first step or that second step or continue training for that process of your life following Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for calling us into a relationship with you through our baptism. Lord, as your beloved sons and daughters, help us not to live for ourselves, but to do and be active in doing what you want us to do, to grow. To grow as your sons, your daughters, to become mature in our faith. Help us, O Lord, to walk with you through being in your word, through prayer, by telling others and giving wholeheartedly, by confessing.